He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show on this November 16th. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we might have Barry Kite joining us a little bit later in the show, but I think he's kind of meeting with folks. We've had a couple of busy day, a very busy day here so far, another busy day tomorrow here in Sarasota, really enjoying our time here. The Dow is up 30 points today. It's at 33,622, but definitely that euphoria that we saw last Thursday and Friday has simmered down considerably. The Nasdaq's down 139 right now. That's a 1.2% drop. 11,214. The S&P 500 is down 19 points. That's a half a percent. 39.72 on the S&P. The small caps are down 1.3%. Definitely a risk-off day. Crude oil after the Poland missile incident. Crude's at 84.64, backing off 2.28 today. Gold's up $1.80. It had a little spurt yesterday with some geopolitical concerns out there. The 10-year is at 3.73. Down 7 basis points today, and Bitcoin, $16,502, down $436 today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, Best Inverse Funds Now show, which the inverse funds have kind of led the way here in 2022. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Broadcasting live from Sarasota, Florida. Beautiful day here so far today. Nice and sunny. Always love coming down and visiting the folks in Sarasota. Got a lot of, you know, I try to learn something from everybody I come in contact. I have a lot more to learn from people, you know, than they probably have to learn from me. I don't know, but I like to listen to boots on the ground and what the folks are thinking, what the forecast, what kind of forecasts they see in the coming years, whatnot. And I might share some of those opinions, consensus opinions for sure, during the course of the show. What are the folks saying? Well, we had a weird day yesterday. The Dow was way up with the Walmart earnings beat. And, of course, today that's being offset by the big whiff by Target. Wow. I mean, this is the second time. Of course, Walmart had a pretty bad quarter, too, this year. And Target had a really bad quarter earlier this year. Then they had a good, decent quarter, and now they had just a horrible quarter. So it's still kind of up in the air on where the consumer is at right now. The Dow was way up. It was up about 300, and then around lunchtime here, we looked at the indexes, and they had lost a lot of their gains. And it pretty much, I think, was the missile incident where a Russian missile went into Poland. We don't know how far into Poland. I think right on the border, and killed two people in Poland. And, you know, that's just a you know, that's an unnerving kind of an incident. I don't think it's going to grow into anything. It was probably some kind of an errant missile. I don't think it was intended for Poland. But it did cause the markets to rattle, shake, rattle, and roll yesterday a little bit in the afternoon. Caused gold stocks to spike. Caused the oil stocks to have a pretty good ending to the day. And created some nervousness in the market. We also had the producer price index yesterday, which came in cooler than expected. That's our second report in a row. of maybe inflation, an inflation peak. I think we've seen an inflation peak. It's kind of appearing that way now. That doesn't mean inflation has gone away. But we're not going to remain at the 9-10% area where we were earlier this year. We seem to be moderating more in the maybe 6-7% area. We'll see. Inflation is a pretty unpredictable kind of thing. But I think the market, I think the fallout from inflation in the market and rising interest rates, I think most of the damage has been done. And now we can start kind of picking up the pieces here. We've got the market down today. We also had President Biden and President Xi meeting yesterday. We were told it was a cordial meeting. I don't know how cordial it was. And we've had a couple of Fed governors here recently say that, you know, they can slow down the rate, the pace of the rate hikes, meaning from 75 down to 50, more than likely. And we've also had a little good news out of China, although they are so unpredictable, you never know. But supposedly they are lightening up a little bit on their draconian COVID crackdowns, and that has helped the chip sector, the semiconductors, and it's helped the markets overall, and it's helped the Chinese stocks for now, okay? But that is not the same government that China had a couple of years ago that was more of a, let's try to participate in a little bit of the Western economy and cooperate and trade. You know, it's gone pretty dark in communist China. We had a better-than-expected retail sales report. That's bad news, right? That's bad news because that tells the Fed things have not cooled down enough yet, and that's another reason why you're seeing some stickiness here, some selling in the market. Gold has been on a pretty good run here recently. Maybe Bitcoin money is leaving the Bitcoin market, going into gold. I don't know. But we've also had the geopolitics with the action heating up in Ukraine, the Russian missiles hitting Poland, etc. And that's usually good for gold. The big announcement last night, obviously, or did it just kind of fall flat? Trump announces 2024 presidential bid. Well, okay, we're in Sarasota, Florida. I'm on a conservative station here in Sarasota, Florida, one of the Salem stations. And so most of the folks that I meet with down here in Sarasota are Republicans, are conservative, and we just kind of floated. What do you think of, what do you think Trump will announce tonight, and are you for it or against it? And I would just say, I mean, small sampling, yes, okay, small sampling. But people whose opinions I respect, every one of them, you know what? Trump fatigue. Okay, I'm just telling you what I hear. We're a little tired of Trump, the drama, and of course, it seems like the hot ticket, without question, is Governor DeSantis down here in Florida. And I would say a big seminal moment, you know, Trump when he called Ron DeSantis, Ron DeSanctimonious, that didn't go over well. And that seems to be kind of a seminal moment. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing on the ground down here in Florida. I also did quite a bit of talking around a couple weeks ago when I was here for the hurricane. And I was hearing the same things, and that was before he had said DeSanctimonious. So anyways, that's what I'm seeing and reporting here from the Sarasota area. We're going to get NVIDIA earnings after the close tonight. It's had a bit of a run. I would say it's vulnerable. They better not come in and miss earnings. You could see a big sell-off. It's the kingpin, okay? AMD and NVIDIA, they're the kingpins of the semiconductor world. No longer is it Intel and Texas Instruments and the others. It's NVIDIA and it's AMD that pretty much are the hot tickets with the momentum these days, even though they've lost half their value here recently. And, you know, it's hard for me to get real excited about the higher PE growth semiconductor stocks here. And in fact, even at this level, when we come back, there are a couple of areas of the market that are kind of rising, you know, better than the rest right now. We still have this rising interest rate environment, but we're seeing a lot of opportunities in two areas of the market right now. And we'll talk about those. And no, it's not Carvana. No, it's not Zoom technology, etc. It's a few other areas of the market. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Market definitely has a downward drift here so far. Weakness in the semiconductor stocks, weakness in the FANG stocks, weakness in the internet stocks, weakness in China, also a weakness in the oil stocks. There was a little bit of a premium built into them yesterday. After that incident in Poland with the Russian missile that killed two people. Well, Poland is a member of NATO. And obviously, if the war were to expand into Poland, the Ukraine-Russian war, you're probably talking World War III there. So that's why that was an incident that did not just kind of fly under the radar and go noticed. But at the end of the day, I think it's just a temporary little thing that went on that probably will not fester or grow into anything bigger, at least not now. All right, so we talked with a lot of folks yesterday, and, you know, the majority of them have portfolios with other money managers, or they're managing it themselves. And I would just talk about the curve here of risk and where we're kind of at right now in the market. All right, so in 2020, the ARK-type stocks, the moonshot-type stocks, the innovation stocks, that was a great place to be in 2020. But that's now way in the rear-view mirror, and when interest rates started to perk up, the Fed starts to unwind their giant balance sheet, which I think is $7.5 trillion right now. That was the worst place. You couldn't be in a worse place than those kinds of stocks. And you've seen what's happened to Cathie Wood's ARK funds, Moonshot, and some of these stocks like Carvana and Teladoc and the other stocks of that ilk, the high-flying, long-duration stocks. These are stocks that are out there on the horizon, like Tesla was a long-duration stock at one time. Look how long it took for Tesla to actually become profitable. And they're the first electric car maker, you know, to crack through to profitability. Will some of these others, like Lucid, and Rivian, et cetera, ever crack through to profitability? Well, there's a big question mark around that right now. The battery makers, the companies that make the EV charging, that is not the place to be invested. That was a couple of years ago, all right? You would be way behind the investing curve if you were still invested in those stocks. Okay. And then, of course, as interest rates started to rise, continued to rise, the second worst place to be were the bond funds. And we still met with people yesterday that still have money in bond funds. which have pretty much been whacked for about 18 to 20% here in 2022. And we warned that that was one of the worst places also that you could possibly be, because it was on the railroad tracks when the freight train being driven by Jerome Powell and his boys at the Fed and gals at the Fed, you know, ran right over, squashed the high PE long duration stocks, and then ran right over and squashed the long duration bonds. The longer the duration, the more they got hit. And then as it continued to rise, interest rates, then you started getting into the FANG stocks and big tech, and you've seen a massive sell-off in big tech to the tune of about one-third to one-half sell-off, 30 to 50% sell-off, 50 down in the semiconductor space, more like 30, you know, in the Microsoft space, kind of. And so that was the next worst place to be. And really, one by one, I mean, anything high P.E. Ratio, the financials were not sitting in a good spot there for a while, Goldman Sachs and those. And really, at the end of the day, the only thing that was doing well, for me, one of the most obvious, and I wish we would have bought a lot more of it. I mean, we did put quite a bit of money into the TBT inverse interest rate fund, but I only put it in the bond fund, okay? Now, there's a big difference between owning individual bonds and owning a bond fund. You have control over the individual bonds, and, you know, mostly we're buying right now in the three-year kind of expiration period, holding them for 3 years to maturity. The principal, you know, comes back to you, and you get the yield along the way. But the TBT has doubled this year. That seemed to me to be one of the most sure things to happen. There's nothing sure in the market, but that interest rates were going to go up was a pretty good probability, and a TBT being double inverse, the long bond, that was a good place to be. Now, having said that, right now, it seems to me that the major damage has been done in the bond market. And what we're looking at now is some pretty good opportunities. Now, we haven't bought a new bond for a couple of years. We're not going to buy something at 3, 3.5, 3.25, 3.375%. That was pretty much kind of the going rate in, like, the best stocks now that we follow. And, you know, all of the original bonds, we pretty much still own all of them. But they came from that best stocks now universe. They had good, really good yields. And we felt like interest rates were going to continue to fall at that point. And they did. And we got some really nice gains out of them, capital gains, along with nice returns. But we were not able to really find anything new for the last couple of years. Now, almost on a daily basis, I'm seeing, you know, a bond offering. We mentioned the Nutrien one that came out at 5.9% for 3 years. There's another really good one that came out today. So almost on a daily basis, we're finding them more in the 6 area. I've had people over the years tell me, Bill, I'd be happy just getting 6, 7% a year, okay? Well, you know, this is the first time in a long, long time. Now, I'm just talking. This is down at the safest end of the risk scale. We're at the opposite end of the moonshot ARC fund risk scale, which you don't want to be anywhere near. We're at the other end of the risk scale where, you know, you're buying something and you're going to it's liquid. We charge a 1% management fee to manage the bond fund and to try to find the best. We have to really search a lot and to manage it along the way, to put in a hedge if we think interest rates are going to continue to go higher, et cetera. I think there's a lot of great opportunities right now in that area. We're seeing yields that we haven't seen in 40 years, to be honest with you. Okay, the second area our dividend fund, dividend and growth, okay, we're not after the Philip Morris's, the AT&T's of the world that pay 6% dividend yields. No, I want a 2-3% dividend yield and the prospects for capital appreciation on top of that. Valero Energy would be a very good example of a dividend and growth, and many others. I think there's going to be some really good opportunities there, maybe even in big tech, where the dividend yields have gone up and the growth is still there. So those are the two areas that I see as the most fruitful going forward. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Funds, or Best Inverse Funds Now show. You got the Dow up a little, 45, but the NASDAQ's down 140. A lot of weakness in tech today, and the S&P right now is down 17. I went through kind of that risk scale and where we are, if you're looking to invest right now or if you're invested. I don't think you want to go much beyond, you know, the next level would be just large cap growth stocks that maybe pay a dividend to. But you get down into the ultra growth stocks and the high flyers, they're going to have their days. There's no question about it. And there are opportunities in that space. But where we're at right now in the economic cycle, if you were to draw that economic cycle out, there's, flat, and then you have expansion. We've had expansion really going on since the 08-09 crisis. We've had expansion in GDP. We've had expansion in earnings, which I talk about all the time. We're going to have record earnings this year, $225 per share on the S&P 500. That compares with $60 per share back in 2009. Look at the direct correlation between the growth in earnings year to year in the S&P 500 and the growth in the stock market. But now we're starting to bring earnings into question here. Can they continue to grow? Can they go into a 14th and 15th year of earnings growth? Well, I mean, Goldman Sachs fired a shot across the bow last Monday when they said there will be no earnings growth in 2023. In other words, if we're going to make $225 per share this year, we're going to make $225 per share next year. And then they saw a very meager 5% growth, which is hardly anything, in 2024. But remember, that's just one opinion out there on the street. And that earnings growth is very, very critical. And it gets difficult. It used to be that the tech really was the big driver of growth. Okay, well, that's why we've had outsized growth since 08 and 09. Tech has pretty much led that growth. And now you've seen the tech stocks really slow down their growth rate. Amazon, Google. I read this morning that online advertising is really dropping a lot. So your extraordinary companies, I mean, Apple is no longer a double-digit grower, and it just goes on and on and on, that you don't have those growth drivers anymore. So, and I think, too, we still favor shorter-duration stocks as opposed to long-duration stocks, companies that are profitable right now, maintaining maybe an 8-12% growth rate, maybe paying a dividend. I'm just telling you, that seems to be about the sweet spot of the market right now. Another thing I saw in meeting with folks, which is a plague in our industry, at least as far as I'm concerned, is inactivity by money managers or brokers or financial planners, whatever you want to call it. They mostly have the mindset of buying a group of stocks, a large group of stocks, which I'll get to here in a minute, and just kind of holding them over the years Well, you know, like this year, there's sectors of the market you just don't want to have any exposure to. I mean, even if they did a little bit of sector selection instead of just a broad shotgun approach at the entire economy, this has not been a good year for the tech stocks or the higher PE, higher growth type stocks. This has been a better year for the lower PE, nice dividend paying stocks, a lot of those in the energy sector. And so I see a lot of inactivity, okay, doing nothing, but staying the course, which is the mantra, stay the course. Well, if you're 73 years old, you know, you're not going to have enough time to come back. Drawdown, we talk about drawdown. You can't take a 30-35% hit. It's going to take you a long time to recover from that hit. You got to go up 70% from that hit to get back to where you were. So drawdown was a big factor we talked about, and we still have more drawdown risk, obviously, especially in some areas of the market. And the other thing I saw, owning too much. You know, I've debated that. I used to travel up when I was on the West Coast. The financial capital of the West Coast is the San Francisco area. That's where Wells Fargo was headquartered. And a lot of the mutual funds, Franklin Templeton, GT Global was there. A lot of the hedge funds, a lot of the money managers, especially in the momentum space. I used to call on several momentum type of money management firms. We always had the discussion, how many stocks should you own in a portfolio? And, you know, we kind of always came to the consensus somewhere in the 20, the 25 range. I've had people transfer portfolios to me that had 120. I look at that as unmanageable. I would say think of a baseball dugout with 120 guys in it and a poor manager, you know, trying to get everybody playing time. There's a lot more bad players than a 120. You know, he wants his best nine people on the field. The football team wants their best 11 offensive players on the field at any given time, and then their best 11 defensive players on the field with kind of a balanced attack. I think somewhere in that 20 to 25 range is pretty much the area that I've come to. And in the market right now where it's a lot more difficult. I have to work a lot harder to find good stocks that I like that meet all my criteria, valuation, momentum, good stock chart. I've changed right now to just 20, so I'm taking 5% positions. In the bond fund, we own about 8 or 9. Different bonds. All right, so more news on the market today. UK inflation. Okay, now this makes you wonder, do we now have inflation under control? Because think about this. If the CPI and the PPI come in hotter than expected in December, then you're back to where we were. We've had 1 month of these cool reports, but I would not say that we're out of the woods yet. Especially when I see UK inflation rate come in at 11.1% today. I think it was Germany earlier this week that came in over 10%. That UK inflation rate is a new four-decade high, driven by gas and electricity prices. And we haven't really faced that yet. I mean, you know, now we've got this big crisis, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, about with the diesel fuel on the East Coast and Biden telling the companies, hey, you got to keep some reserves. Never mind, he released the national reserves, strategic reserves. Now he's telling companies here in the U.S., you better keep some good reserves so we have enough this winter. Well, that takes a lot of supply off of the market. That's going to drive prices higher. And as we continue to close refineries and not build new refineries, there's definitely a lot of inflationary pressure in these same areas that the UK is suffering from. And it may get worse before it gets better. And then think about this, you know, the other problem that UK is having is food and non-alcoholic beverages, up 16.2% year over year, 14.5% for the non-alcoholic beverages. We have that risk. If diesel prices soar, how much of your food prices are trucking and delivery? And you think about all of these big freighters coming into the port. Every one of those containers has to be hooked up to a diesel truck, diesel-driven truck. And in addition to that, we supply a lot of diesel to Europe to help them get through their crunch. So it's not like the inflationary pressures have all of a sudden disappeared. They moderated. And how much of that moderation in the CPI report was Biden releasing the oil reserves to keep oil prices down? So don't think we're out of the woods yet. Maybe we've hit peak inflation, but that risk is still out there. It is not time to go back into the high growth, long duration stocks. It's not time to go into bond funds. Individual bonds and carefully chosen shorter duration stocks in key areas of the U.S. economy, to me, are the place to be. All right, well, we've got the fuel limits. Traders expect a recession to start soon if it hasn't already started, according to Schwab. Target down 15% after their big Q3 miss. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. This is Bill Gunderson live in Sarasota. So the market's kind of going south here. Boy, that big gain on Thursday and Friday, I didn't trust it, all right? I'm just going to tell you, and I said it then, and I'll say it. In order to reverse this, the bear market that we're in, you've got to have the technicals of the market bottom. Okay, we've been watching these bottom numbers here for quite some time, the last few months. You've got to have the earnings forecast for next year start to go up. They've been going down for the first time in a long, long time. And I've also observed that there's a heck of a lot of short interest, which is probably building up again, which will set up another few monster days in the future. If I only had a crystal ball to know when those were come. You had TARC up 51% in 2 days. That's double Cathie Wood's ARC funds. It was up 51% in 2 days. Well, it almost seemed like a natural to buy SARC on Monday, which is inverse Cathie Wood's ARC funds. And so far that's panning out. I didn't buy it. I own a little bit personally, but I didn't buy any in the it's more, you know, against the really aggressive stuff as a hedge and whatnot. But anyways, that you've got to get a sustainable rally. You've got to get a rally that builds on itself, that builds momentum. A two-day red-hot flash in the pan, if you were in the right place at the right time. Let's not forget that the day before that two-day rally, you were hitting new lows in the NASDAQ and in ARC funds. So you would have had to done a lot of suffering, one, to experience those big days on Friday and Thursday and Friday, or you would have had to have just said, you know, I think they're at the bottom here, and I'm going to play them for a bounce. But there was really no indication of that because they were hitting new lows. Usually, you've got to see some bottoming take place, some foundation take place, like building a house. You need a firm foundation to build it upon, and I just didn't see that in the rally on last Thursday and Friday. You need something that's sustainable. Now, as far as what's working today, well, this is, we're back to inverse funds today. And that's a, one other comment I'd like to make. I mean, if you're with most other brokerage firms, besides, you know, somebody like me who is an independent and unconstrained, I can go where I want to go and do what I, when I need to do it in the market. I don't want my hands tied. But most other brokerage firms are not even allowed. Don't even mention an inverse fund in the lunchroom, man. You get deplatformed and kicked off the microwave. You lose your microwave privileges. But anyways, that's just a fact of life. They're not going to let them use inverse funds. So if you've got somebody that has all, a big, giant bond portfolio and they say, hey, I want to hedge against interest rate risk, they're not going to allow them to buy TBT. Or if you've got somebody with big gains in Amazon and Apple, they don't want to sell because they'd have capital gains problems, you know, tax problems. Well, you, that could be hedged away with inverse funds on PSQ, et cetera. But they're not allowed to do it. I'm just telling you. It's a fact. They're not allowed to do the inverse funds. Okay, so today, for instance, there are obviously some inverse funds that are starting to really move here again. Now, they got slayed on Thursday and Friday, all right? But think about the percentage of days this year with the NASDAQ down almost 30% this year, with the S&P 500 down almost 20% this year, the inverse funds have had many more good days than they've had bad days. And, you know, the SH is up 18% this year, while the S&P is down 18%. The NASDAQ inverse fund is up 30% this year, while the NASDAQ is down 30%. Okay, so the inverse funds that are working today, SOX, S-O-X-S, that is triple inverse, the semiconductors, the beleaguered semiconductors. Now, this thing got whacked last week as there was a lot of short covering that came out and covered the NVIDIAs, the AMDs, and these inverse ETFs. SOX is up 12.1% today as the semiconductors are sliding. Let me just look at NVIDIA real quickly, which is going to report after the bell tonight. Yeah, it's that does not look good to me. All right, okay, we've got the FANG stocks, which had a big Thursday and Friday. Today, it's FANGed, which is three times inverse the FANG index. Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google. You've got FANGed up 7.4% today. Bitty. Bitty is inverse the cryptocurrency. It's inverse Bitcoin. It's up 3.8% today. And obviously during this whole thing with Sam Bankman, whatever his name is, SBZ or SBJ, I think, that's imploding. I mean, that's a meltdown there. Who was it? One of the guys from CNBC that is on there a lot. He lost everything in that particular investment. They marked it off in zero. He had invested in FTX, O'Leary, I think. Had invested, you know, a portion of his money in FTX, and they pretty much, they wrote it off as zero. Now it's starting to spread to some of the others, especially as it relates to liquidity. I can't believe that Sam Bankman-Fried, or whatever his name is, was the only guy doing what he was doing. So Bitty's having a good day. The only long stock that I see that looks interesting today is QSR, because QSR is breaking out today, up 6.4%. They operate 29,000 restaurants. They are badly in need of a turnaround. Burger King, Tim Hortons, etc. They hired Patrick Doyle, who completely turned around Domino's Pizza and made that into a big winning stock. So I'm putting QSR on my watch list. Can Patrick Doyle work his magic again? Get the newsletter. every Saturday, GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to an unconstrained money manager, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.